You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. All Silverados and Truck Nation overlay, 10 to 15 specials with cash rebates or payments. All trucks are showing max factory rebates. Learn more at LakewoodChev.com.
Leah Routon's analyst for the Raptors on TSN and NBA TV joins us now. Leo, I guess, first of all, your thoughts, Paul, when he opted out. A lot of people thought for sure he was leaving the Clippers. This is basically kind of a sign-and-trade deal. Does it make Houston now a legit threat in your mind? Can the Beard and Paul function well together?
Well, that's the big question. I think that remains to be seen. You know, there's still other issues with this Rockets team. Yes, you've acquired a tremendous talent, but even in that, if you think about James Harden this season, arguably his best season as an NBA player, what did Mike D'Antoni do? His coach put the ball in his hands, said, you run this team. And that's how he was able to score when he wanted to, distribute when he wanted to, and he took his game to a higher level than we've seen. Now you're bringing in Chris Paul, who can't play without the ball. Chris Paul has to have the ball in his hands. So, now, Mike D'Antoni, he's about as creative an offensive coach as you can get, but it's going to be difficult to get these, to get the best out of both of them. And then, you know, I think one of the bigger issues, no one even this year doubted if the Houston Rockets can score points. But could they stop anybody from scoring points when it mattered? And they couldn't. And I still think that's going to be a major issue going forward that, you know, somehow they have to address. Yes, they're going to put points on the board. It may not always be pretty, especially with this relationship, how it's going to blend, but there has to be some kind of defensive, focus at some point in time, somewhere in this lineup, if you want to have a chance to win.
Well, he's got to win 150, 145 every night, right?
Yeah, well, good luck unless you play the Golden State Warriors and you're going to lose that game. So, you know, like I said, that's the one thing. I mean, people talk about Golden State and their scoring, but they're also a very, very good defensive team, and that's why they have success. They do it at both ends of the floor. Houston, thus far, has just done it at one.
All right, let's take a look at the team that he's leaving. Where does this leave the Clippers at this point with guys opting out, guys being traded?
Well, you know, the Clippers, quite frankly, need a fresh start. They need there's something, you talk to anybody around the league, and just my personal opinion watching them over the years, it's just stale. Despite all the talent, you just know they're not going to win. They may start out great. They might have good regular season numbers, but they're not going to be a contender. And at some point in time, you have to make a change. You got to start making, try some different pieces, decide who you want to keep, what you want to do. But I think that time did come. And even with Chris Paul, you know, as good a player as he is, he was never the one that was able to get them over the top. And so I think for his sake and the Clippers' sake, not a bad time to infuse some freshness in that organization.
Leo Routon's joined us. Where do you think Blake Griffin goes?
Well, you know, all indications are that, you know, the Clippers would like to keep him. You know, you don't want to give, you know, you can't give away everybody. And he certainly is a player that you can build around. You know, not a franchise guy, but a very, very good player you can build around. And you're going to have scoring coming, you know, from your front court. And he's a guy that can do a lot of different things out there. So, you know, I think he's going to want to know who he's playing with. He's going to want to know what the plan is. At the same time, he's not a bad guy. If you're the Clippers, to try to keep in that organization and now make him more of a focal point. It just seemed at times playing with Chris Paul, it'd just be about taking turns and, you know, who's going to get the ball this time and, you know, who's doing what. And that's not a great way to play basketball. There was a lot of flow there. So maybe that can be a little different right now if Griffin becomes more of a focal point.
I want to take it to the other coast, over the New York Knicks, a team that, you know, really, quite frank, should be one of the pillars of the NBA, but hasn't been anything but that for a number of years. Your thoughts on Phil Jackson, and then who can come in and somehow turn that organization around?
Well, you know, I said it when Phil was hired. If you told me that Phil Jackson was the coach of the Knicks, I'd be very interested in playing. If you're telling me he's running the Knicks, so what? He has literally no experience, and quite honestly, he hasn't shown a lot of interest in running an organization, even when he was with the Knicks. He kind of went against the grain. He wasn't doing things other general managers were doing. He wasn't scouting when he should have been scouting. He wasn't, dealing with the media when everybody else deals with the media in those certain situations. He was throwing players under the bus. He was doing all kinds of things that just did not make sense. And at the same time, he was very stubborn, wanting his triangle offense, which was a tremendous offense when you had the greatest players in the game buy in and then put pieces around them that worked. And when you don't have the pieces, you don't have great players buying in. There was never a time that Carmelo Anthony was going to be a key figure in a triangle offense. Never.
Yeah.
But Phil never wavered, never put the right pieces on the floor to make it work, and hired coaches that basically would be puppets for him to do what he wanted to do. So it became pretty ugly. And what's kind of a sad state there is that, James Dolan has been running interference with the Knicks forever, making horrible decisions and having his input where it doesn't need to be. And he gave Phil Jackson freedom to do what he wanted to do. And unfortunately, it was just the wrong guy to do that. So now you have a difficult situation. Obviously, the rumor mill has got Masai Ujiri of the Toronto Raptors being somebody they covet, and why not? They obviously would covet somebody like Masai Ujiri, who James Dolan knows, fleeced him several times now. But the problem, Masai Ujiri's got a new deal with the Raptors. It would cost an awful lot of money to try to pry him away from MLSE. And at the same time, I don't know if Larry Tannenbaum would even entertain that idea of letting Masai Ujiri go or listen to a solid offer. So I think Masai is entrenched in Toronto, and so I don't see that possibility happening.
Leo Routin's joining us. Now, Leo, speaking of Masai Ujiri, and I agree with you, I think that would be a mistake by the organization to let him go, but what do you think's going to happen with Kyle Lowry and the Raptors? Because they're kind of in a tough spot with Kyle Lowry. He's a very good player, there's no doubt about it, but do you want to commit long-term to him at this stage of his career?
I think the market's going to dictate that. We're going to find out pretty soon what's out there. Who's going to want to throw what kind of money and how many years? If somebody's willing to give Kyle the max money, it's going to be, the Raptors are going to have to make a decision. I think they want to re-sign Kyle, but they want to be fiscally responsible on how many years and how they do it. And I think they're willing to do that. But, again, if Kyle has offers that extend beyond what the Raptors are willing to do, that may be the situation, and they're going to lose them. But we don't know that yet. We have no idea what the market is going to bear, and I think that's going to be the domino. Everything's going to happen, and everything's going to start falling from that point on.
You talk about what's going to happen past that point. Is that going to set the tone for where the Raptors go this season? If he comes back, they do one thing. If he doesn't, okay, we're going plan B.
Yeah, and there's going to be a plan C and a plan D. I think that, even if you lose, say you lose Kyle Lowry, doesn't mean you're ready to go mail it in a tank. That's not the case. You still have a lot of good players. So okay. Plan B might be, who's the next point guard and how are you going to maintain what other free agents are you going to re-sign, sign, and so forth to kind of try to stay where you have been. And then, plan C, maybe if you can't retain other free agents that you have, what are you going to do at that point in time? And Masai Ujiri has already said that, they've got every scenario planned and talked about, and they have a plan for each scenario that may come their way. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. This could be a tremendously impactful summer in the history of this organization, but it's all going to start with the point guard, Kyle Lowry. He's going to be the first domino, and after that, we'll see what happens.
Leo, great stuff. As always, should be a very interesting offseason in the NBA as teams try to load up to see if any of them can come together with a package to beat the Warriors, because the Warriors are just too damn good.
You're right. Going to be interesting, that's for sure.
Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, guys.